Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44. And Jesus says these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. The mob broke into his apartment. They came rushing up the steps into his bedroom. They grabbed him out of his bed in his pajamas, pulled him back down the stairs, beating him on the way. As they brought him out into the street, they tied his hands together, put him behind a horse, and dragged him to the city square. There at the city square, they spit at him and mocked him and began further pummeling him with their fists. One of them stuck a small knife in his neck so that he couldn't speak anymore. And then they carried him up on top of a ladder and put him over a large fire pit and were about to drop him in. And suddenly a woman from the crowd came running out and stood in front of the mob, trying to stop the whole ordeal. But they quickly grabbed her and beat her up and threw her to the ground as well. And so within minutes, they took this man up on top of the ladder and tossed him down into the burning fire. Death by fire is probably the most awful way that a person can die. On 9/11, people jumped out of buildings to their death instead of dying by the fire. So what would possess a man? What would it be that a man would be willing to let himself be abused and treated like that over? What is it that he could have and possess that would let him not want to give something up and have to die that kind of a death? The man I described is a man by the name of Henry Zutphen. In 1522, he was one of the first martyrs of the Reformation. And he had come to understand the precious truth about Christ, our Savior, and what he'd come to do for us, and had been brought to faith in that. And he was now a preacher and had started to proclaim this in his city and had been driven out, and even in another city now had been taken and put to death for that very faith. What he possessed in his heart, something you couldn't see, something that you would never be able to put in your hand, but what he possessed in his heart is exactly what our Lord Jesus is talking about today. Listen to his words again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The treasure is this knowledge of Christ as our Savior and all the things that he's done for us, as well as the very word that he gives us and all the truth connected to that wonderful treasure. The believer finds great value in what the world looks at as being ridiculous. Just like somebody observing a piece of land that doesn't seem to have any real potential value, and it's maybe not located in the best spot. The unbelieving world looks at the things of the kingdom of God and looks at the word of God and the things that are proclaimed by pulpits of God's word and laughs at it and mocks it and thinks it's ridiculous and meaningless. It sees nothing but a little piece of land that has no value to it at all. And the world likes to mock and make fun of those who are willing to give up everything they possess in order to have this silly little piece of land that seems so absolutely worthless to the human eye. And so the world laughs at the church. The world laughs at believers and says, "What idiots! Who would dedicate your life? Who would give up everything you possess? Who would be willing to be burned in a fire alive for something like this that you can't even see?" And sometimes the believers themselves ask themselves, you know, they might be right. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it for me to possess this thing that I can't really see right now? But we need to know what the treasure is. What is this buried treasure that Jesus is talking about? The buried treasure is this: the truth about ourselves, that there's not a single person in this room, certainly not myself, who has lived our lives well enough that God would ever let us into heaven based on who we are and what we've done. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But also the truth that through the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and took on human flesh, went and suffered and died our penalty on the cross, So I could stand here today and announce to absolutely every one of you, on behalf of God, your sins are completely wiped away. They have been thrown into the sea, far away from you. And by God's grace, you now have been forgiven. And that through faith in this Savior, you have the wonderful hope of going to live in heaven someday. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's the treasure that is buried in the field. That's the treasure that the world doesn't see. That's hidden under this plot of land that appears to be so meaningless and so irrelevant. Now, God often hides his most beautiful, precious things and the greatest treasures. He often hides them in places you would never expect to find. Just think of where Jesus was born and the family he was born into. Would you have expected the Son of God to be born into a carpenter's family in the stinky little town of Bethlehem? Just think how God likewise comes today to the world through the preaching of his word, like Luther says, through a bunch of short little sweaty preachers that stand in pulpits and talk, that God dispenses the kingdom of heaven through those words. In the little handful of water in baptism that looks so silly to the world, taking a little bit of bread and wine that appears to be so meaningless, that's something you would have in hors d'oeuvres at a party. And yet through all of this, God conveys and brings the forgiveness of our sins. He brings the power to become children of God. He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and unbelief and transports us into the kingdom of light through faith in his Son as our Savior. No wonder Paul said it this way: God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Isn't that true? When the world looks at the plot of land, it looks meaningless. But faith knows there's a treasure hidden and buried down underneath that land. Faith sees more than dirt. And so owning this property, possessing it to the believer, is worth absolutely everything. That's why Stephen was willing to let himself be stoned to death in the first century. When I was in fifth grade, I actually lived on our campus. My dad taught here. And we lived in a house that would be across from the Sports and Fitness Center. And I read a book at that time about a little boy who buried a treasure. And I thought, that would be kind of neat. I'm going to bury a treasure. So I got a nice little cigar box, and I put some pennies inside of it, and a couple of nice coins, and some of my favorite little toys, and sealed it up. Took it out in the backyard, and I marked out my steps and kept a map of exactly how far I had to go past this tree, and I dug down about 2-3 feet and buried that box. And then I took the map back and stuck it in my sock drawer, and about a year later, I lost it. And I don't know what happened to it. And when they probably built what's now called Dwight Hall, there's probably some construction worker playing with my G.I. Joes right now that probably dug up that treasure. God has given us through his word the knowledge, the map, if you will, of where the true treasure of eternal life is to be found. This man in our text, in Jesus' little story, finally goes and possesses that land. And we can imagine him digging up that treasure in great joy and excitement. The day is going to finally come when the believers in Christ will realize what has been buried beneath the soil in this precious truth about the gospel. So today, hold on to that title and the deed that you have to the kingdom of God. Because by faith in Christ, you possess heaven itself. And there is no fire, there is no fire in this world that is worth losing that over. Amen. Please rise for prayer. You'll find the prayer printed on our bulletin for today. Let us join together in unison. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son, you have promised us the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. We beseech you by your Holy Spirit, so enliven our hearts that in daily prayer we may seek our help in Christ against all temptations, and constantly believing his promise, obtain that for which we pray, and at last be saved. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the verses of our hymn. Good morning to all of you, and just a quick greeting, first of all, to those who are here visiting our campus today, and we welcome you, and thanks for giving Bethany a look. We'd obviously love to have you come and make us your choice for college, so God's blessings on your decisions in the future. We also have another group with us today, a smaller group, that is a very honored guest that we have. You all know the YFAC Center that we have over here, the music hall and theater and so on, the fine arts building. That's called the Ilvesacker Center. One of the first presidents of Bethany College was Sigurd Ilvesacker, Dr. Sigurd Ilvesacker. My parents went to school here when he was here. He preached for chapel every day. Think about that. He preached. You think it's bad getting to listen to me all the time, but no. And my parents loved him dearly. Dr. Ilvesacker was a name in our family, almost like Moses. I mean, he was just thought of so highly. And for generations of Bethany alumni, Dr. Ilvesacker was just thought of as a great father figure, wonderful man. And anyway, today his daughter Barbara is with us, and then two of her nieces, these would also be granddaughters of Dr. Ilvesacker, Nancy and Susan. Can I ask you to stand briefly, would you please? Let's welcome them. Thank you so much. They're back visiting our campus and from other parts of the country, And we're so honored to have you back with us today. So thank you for being here. And on a personal note, the strength of your father's teaching and faith and your grandfather's came down through my parents as well and has really impacted my life and my faith. And I'm just so grateful for such giants like this in the through the history of the church through the years who have stood on God's word and his truth and passed that on to us so we could have a place like Bethany. So how grateful we should be. So enjoy the strings as we leave this morning. Thank you.